Someone have a testimony? I think there's someone who has a testimony.
Good morning. You know, the kingdom of God and the Lord is about relationship and intimacy. And the married couple is showing a relationship with Jesus and the church. This is one of us. And the Lord showed me a dream. So most for the married couple, you know, some married couple here. And he showed me a dream. Some people from here, from the church, Houston Revival Center. And specifically this service, Houston Revival Center, married couple. And other people that I know, they are married. And they was doing a questionnaire about how they are with the wife and husband. You know, how intimate they are, how affectionate they are, you know, how they relate one to another. You know, they spread a lot of affection to the partner, kissing, hugging all the time. And many of them, they say, you know, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. Like, it's not important to kiss my wife when she is around there. It's not important to hug my husband. You know? And the Lord told me, that's the way they are with me. They're not intimate with me. They don't have no relationship with me. They talk about me, but they don't have a relationship with me. If you cannot kiss your wife or kiss your husband and hold your husband, not being with you in bed, I'm sorry, all the time. Because the kingdom of God will the Lord about relationship, about intimacy. If we cannot have that kind of intimacy with our husband and wife, we don't have intimacy with him. And that's why he says. There's, you know, and that's what the word of God says about the marriage, the church, the relationship between Christ and us. If we want to have that relationship, we start with our wife and husband. If we can have it, that we, the person that we spend our day, every day of years, if we can have that kind of relationship, we don't have that kind of relationship with the Lord. That's what the Lord showed me. And I really was burning. I was waiting to the Lord ask who has somebody to say.
You know, I think we need to just pause a moment. When the Lord comes and he speaks something like this, we need to pause a moment. What is most important? What is most important in your life? Because if we'll make intimacy with him most important, if we'll make intimacy with him be something that's real within us. He was giving the example of married couples, but it works no matter whether you're single, whether you're married, no matter what it is. There's a call in his heart for intimacy with us. Maybe even at the moment we don't have a marriage partner or whatever else may be happening, but there's a call for an intimacy with him. That starts with us being open and honest and transparent before him, because we can't have intimacy unless we're willing to be transparent. Unless we're willing to be open, unless we're willing to allow something to be exchanged between us. Because see, in that exchange between us, then there's something that God can begin to do with us. Because he won't override you. He won't do it for you. He's going to ask you to do it for him. Feel something almost militant coming up. So let's just take a moment and let's just invite him into our life. Invite this intimacy that he desires to have with us. Invite this testimony that he desires to make with us, to do in our heart. Father, I thank you. for a life that is revealed through this intimacy with you. For the testimony of Jesus being revealed in our hearts. Lord, we must ask forgiveness. We must repent before you today, right now, Lord. We just come and we repent, Lord, allowing our heart to be touched and be opened, to be transformed by you. Even in the simple things, transform our hearts, Lord. Lord, we repent for turning ourselves away from you, for denying the simplicity of your word, for denying this place of intimacy one to another and with you, Lord. Lord, as we repent, Lord, we invite the fullness of the knowledge of you. Lord, we make a decision in our heart, a decision to walk in transparency with you, a decision to move in openness with you. Lord, you sent your word here this morning, Lord, to activate something within us. You sent your word to activate, Father, a greater intimacy, a greater level of revelation, a greater level of connectivity. We don't want to miss you. We don't want to miss you today. We don't want to miss you at any point, Lord. We repent for the times that we have missed you. We repent for the times we have turned to idleness, Lord. We repent for the times that we've turned away from you, Lord. That we've turned to mere pleasures, Father, and rather than to understanding a trueness of intimacy with you. For the times that we've turned to distraction rather than turning to you, Lord. Where, Lord, where sometimes we've even allowed good things to take us away from you. But Lord, we open our heart before you today. We look to receive you today, Lord. All that is within you. Lord, every breath that you take, Lord, every breath that we take, Lord, you're drawing us nearer to you. Today we make a choice to be allowed, to allow ourselves to be drawn near to you, Lord. We allow ourselves to be drawn near to your presence. To be drawn near to your goodness. To be drawn near to your grace, Lord. To be drawn near to that love, Lord, that knows no boundaries, that knows no fear. We make a choice. Lord, we set aside the fear that has kept us from intimacy with you. We set aside the lies of the enemy that have kept us from a trueness of intimacy with you. Lord, we make a determination in our heart to accept this love. To accept the magnificence of your love. To accept the magnificence of your drawing near to us, Lord. As we draw near to you, Lord, we recognize that we're breaking league, we're breaking covenant with the devil, Lord. We're resisting those things because, Lord, we're choosing to draw near to you. We're choosing to have a lively intimacy with you, Lord. A lively hope in you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for a release of life in this house. And each of these, Lord, who have come, each of these who are hearing it, Father, over the airwaves, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that everyone, Father, comes into a place of the knowledge of you this day. We receive that intimacy with you. We receive your words for us, Lord. We receive the refreshing that comes from the obedience to your word. The refreshing that comes as we walk with you. We receive the joy that comes, Father, from obedience with you. the peace that comes from obedience with you, from interface and interaction with you. Come, let your Spirit minister among these today. Let your Spirit go with us, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there anything else, Pastor?
And the dreams, the people who were in the dream, they said, you know, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for this. That's what the only answer they have. But, you know, they had time for many things. You know, it's always times. You know, one of the things that the Lord put in my heart, and always, and I became a Christian, is intimacy with Him, fellowship. That's what I spend a lot of time for in prayer. Now I have time in prayers. And no, and the prayer that I do, when I speak about prayer, I'm not speaking, you know, prayer, a bunch of things, just talking with Him, knowing Him. That's my kind of prayers. When I speak about prayers, I worship Him. I study His Word. To know Him, not to have something to preach. When I study the Word of God, I'm not looking for revelation. And I don't do that. Because I know it's Him. You know, when I remember when I became a Christian, and I said, Lord, I want to be in your presence. I want to have fellowship with you. And He said, Enrique, every time you open the Bible, you're in my presence. And I understood, since my beginning as a Christian, that this God, this Jesus, the Word was with God. And then the Word became flesh. He lived among men. Just the Word of Jesus, from Genesis to Revelation. It's Jesus. When we open the Bible, we in fellowship with Jesus. And that's always my heart, to have fellowship with Him. Since I came from Colombia, you know, it put in my heart more, it drew me more close to Him, to more intimacy, you know. Knowing and to do, I do a lot of do in Colombia because I had to do those things. I was so busy, Pastor Chuck, you know. But you know, when I came here, I want to get busy doing things. I want to know Him because that's the only thing I want to take here from the earth. When I go to heaven, or He come before I go to heaven, He's going to ask me, I know Him. I want to know Him. I want to be known by Him. I don't want, you know, be known by men. I want to know Him and be known by Him. And I do things from that fellowship with Him. Whatever He want me to do, I'm going to do it because it's for that fellowship. I don't want to do things just wrong and like crazy and no fellowship with Him. You know, those times for me already passed long time ago. Long time ago, those things passed. Long, 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 long. I don't have desire for anything just to know Him. And if I want to do something from that fellowship with Him. And I do it with love because it's for Him. Like if I do something for my wife, I love my wife dear. And I do things for her because I love her. I hug her because I love her. I kiss her because I love her. You know, I all over her all the time. You know, because that's my fellowship with Jesus. Anyone from each one of us, they have that kind of fellowship because for Him, it's more important our relationship with Him than the things we do. That's important for Him. It's more important, you know, many things we do that we just do to be known by men or being seen by men, they don't mean nothing. Even good things like Pastor Chuck say. Many good things that we do to be seen by men, they don't mean nothing for our Lord. And we neglect our fellowship with the person more important in our life, Jesus. And like a man or a woman busy doing things for the husband or for the wife and no fellowship. That woman, that man are going to be happy. because we neglected by the partner. And the same of the will of the Lord Jesus, if we do, and you know, even think, sometimes people is doing things but not even thinking about him. This, what he wants, a fellowship. What he wants, intimacy. We can do all those things that we're supposed to do. You call to preach, preach. You call to prophesy, prophesy. If you call to almost make money, go make money. But don't forget him. Don't forget. That's the more important thing in your life. Jesus, your life, remember? He said, Jesus our life. It's not life without Jesus. It's emptiness. Emptiness. You know, and I told my wife, you know, build your relationship with the Lord. I told my children, you know, it doesn't matter if you become engineer, you become whatever, but you don't have no intimacy with Jesus, nothing. That's what Paul said, you know, whatever accomplished before is nothing. He said, it's done, it's nothing, it's, you know, a bunch of, a pile of nothing. You know, and Paul said, you know, that I might know him. That I might know him. Remember, it's Paul. And that's what has to be burning in our heart. That may know him. You have too much revelation about teach the world, but you don't have no fellowship with Jesus. That's nothing. If you accomplish many things in the air and all the people, you know, and say you're a great woman of God, or great man of God, but you don't know him, it's nothing. This is more important, our fellowship with him, our intimacy with him. Love him, romance him. You know, I love that song. He said, romance me, Lord. I love that song. Because, you know, that's the way we romance a woman with moms. You know, that's the way he romances us. We have to romance him. Be close to him. Don't neglect this. This is not religion. This is a fellowship, man. Let's not go to church or read my Bible and it's over or do things. No, this is a relationship. This life. This love. This is all about. This Christianity about. That a man, God, came to earth to love man and to have a relationship with man. You know, God and the garden have a relationship with Adam. They got together and they talk. And he sent his son, Jesus, to restore those things, that fellowship, that intimacy. See, that's all about. Anything else matter. No matter. Anything we accomplish in the air without this fellowship, without this communion, is nothing. Maybe it means something for men. And this man going to say, hey, how great you are. You know what you got there? It's going to be all good when you get there. But you say, I miss it. I miss it. I accomplished all these things. I was great among men. But you know you, Lord. I miss it. I could enjoy you more than anything. There's an accomplishment that I did. But I miss it. And Pastor, one word the pastor repeated several times to the fear. You see why people don't have fellowship with Jesus? Because they fear. Because when you have fellowship with Jesus, you forget everything about the things of men. But you're afraid the men push you away. You're afraid the men, for men, you want to be seen by men. And this fear, the people don't have that kind of relationship with Jesus. Because when you really know him, you know, everything pale here in the earth. You don't want to touch anything. You're not him to tell you to touch. And you know what happened? That you're going to look weird by men. And they're going to say, well, you know, you're not doing nothing. But it's better. I don't want to do nothing. But I want to be known by him. And I want to know him. Pastor.
Turn to Ecclesiastes 3. Because Pastor's been doing such a good job. We'll just continue in the same vein here. But every relationship, like we talked about last week, every relationship is drawing one of two ways. you're either drawing closer or you're drawing farther away. Relationships don't stay static. Every relationship in your life is either coming closer. Your relationship with God, your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your best friend, it doesn't matter. You're either drawing closer or you're drawing further away. If you're drawing further away, it's because some element of fear has entered in. And if there's an element of fear in that relationship, then what you're trying to determine is, how far can I get before so that I'm out of arm's reach? How far can I get where I'm still safe? You're trying to find a safe distance rather than how close can I be? So God is looking, and what he's calling for is an intimacy with him that draws us close to him, to where we're allowing all of our defenses to be let down, because only in the letting down of all of your defenses, only in the true surrender, can you find that place of true intimacy with him. The intimacy at the level that he wants it to. Because see, if you're only allowing the intimacy at the level that you're willing to go, then it's probably not much intimacy there. But the Lord is looking for an intimacy that goes beyond our expectation. And that means it goes beyond what we're comfortable with naturally. But we can take advantage of this opportunity, because the word says that he's looking to draw near. He's looking for us to draw near, because he's already drawing near to us. See, there's a time and a place for everything. Ecclesiastes 3, did we find it? 3 verse 1 says, there's an appointed time for everything. There's a time for every event under heaven. A time to give birth and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw stones and a time to gather. A time to embrace and a time to shun embracing. A time to search and a time to give up as lost. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear apart and time to sew together. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. See, what is he trying to make it? What he's trying to give you the point and understanding is that there is a time and a season for everything in your life. There's a time that he's looking, and right now he's declaring by the word that came in this morning that there's a time for an intimacy with him, a time to draw together, because in that drawing together there is an empowerment to know him, and there's an empowerment to begin to walk in his likeness. We can't begin to know God unless we're willing to draw near to him. Otherwise, we get lost in some other time period. Suddenly, we find ourselves out of sync with what God is doing. See, the whole point of having intimacy with him is so that we can have relationship. Out of relationship flows information. Out of relationship flows those things, those warnings and those things that he may have to speak. And then if you'll heed it when he's speaking it, that'll keep you safe. But see, if we're busy shutting him off, we don't heed his warning. If we're busy doing something besides being intimate with him, then we'll never find the refreshing and the healing that we need to carry us into the next season. And so we go unguarded and open and all wounded and bleeding into the next season instead of going healed and ready and whole and ready to face the battle. God is doing something. The reason he stops everything and says, I want you to draw near to intimacy, is not just because he's some egotistical God, but because he wants to bring benefit into your life. He wants to bring wholeness and wellness into your life, because see, only in the place of intimacy are we going to find that place of wholeness. Only in the intimacy do we find the place of the wellness that he wants us to operate out of. Because see, as we begin to operate in wholeness and wellness, now we can begin to look like Christ. We can begin to carry forth a testimony that actually changes somebody. You know, there are some Christians that are carrying a testimony, and the reality is, because of the way they carry it, I'd just soon not know. But there's a time and a season. And he's saying now is the time for intimacy. Turn to 2 Corinthians 10. We're going to do this wherever the Lord goes here. There's a time and a place. And he says when he's beginning to call us to an intimacy, we need to heed. Because he's putting these things on our heart. He's putting these things out there so that we'll begin to know him and begin to have an understanding of what it is he's preparing us for. Second Corinthians 10, verse 5. So we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. To the knowledge of God. See, that's what begins to come and flow out of this relationship, this intimacy, is the knowledge of God. Not just a matter of knowing Him, but a matter of knowing the thing that He's wanting to get over to you. Knowing the truth that He's wanting to plant in your life. Because see, as He begins to plant that truth in your life, now we can suddenly begin to walk in a different manner. Because as we discover the truth that He has planted for us, the truth that of the information that He's giving to us, see, that's the knowledge of God. There's a tremendous, for example, I look at it this way. If you have a PC, you have some captured knowledge. But if you have the internet hooked up to that PC, you have an almost unlimited source of knowledge. What he's looking to do is expand your horizons. He's looking to expand your input. He's looking to expand your knowledge and expand your love. Because as he expands your knowledge and expands your love, then there's a greater degree of possibilities that are opened up before you. And as a greater degree of possibilities are opened up before you, then suddenly your destiny becomes clear. In the intimacy with Him is the surety and the confidence to walk in your destiny. You can't serve the CEO if you don't ever know what his instructions are. The only place we're going to find out what his instructions are is to have an intimacy with Him. I had a vision one time, and in this vision, it was really remarkable. I saw this vast army of God. And I became aware that they were moving in sync. But not just the sync of one step with the next step, but in sync to such a level that their hearts were beating at the same moment. Boom, boom. Ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. They were in such a sync because they can only be in such a sync that way because of the fact that each and every one of them was connected to the Father. Each and every one of them was connected to the heartbeat of the Father, and they allowed their heart to beat with the Father's, and that comes from the place of intimacy. And as this army began to walk through, they wanted to walk into this valley, and I really began to feel sorry for the enemy. Because there was nothing that was going to stand between, no matter how much the enemy thought he had set a trap, these people were all connected to the Father, and they knew what the trap was. They knew what they were walking into, and they knew the strategy it was going to take to overcome, and there was nothing that was going to stand in their way. Because they had the place of unity. With impunity. They were going to deal out exactly what the Lord had already said. Because He had put it in their heart in the place of intimacy. Because now their heart beat in sync with His heart. And as their heart beat in sync with His heart, now all of a sudden there became a place of response out of each and every one of them. A response that not only put them in line with the Father, but it put them in line with their brother. And as they're in line with the Father and they're in line with their brother, there was nothing. There was nothing that can be defeated. There was nothing that can stand in the way. That's the knowledge of God. And so what we have to do is begin to destroy these other speculations. And guess what? When you get into a place of intimacy, you're destroying speculations. You're destroying those things that whisper in your ear and say, well, you know, what about this? What about that? Those things that create doubt and create fear. But those things are destroyed in a place of intimacy. When the Lord's voice becomes the only voice that you can hear, suddenly all the stuff that the enemy is trying to push upon you gets shut out. It's shut out because God is speaking in your ear. God has something for you, and He wants to release the knowledge of Him and the knowledge of your future and the knowledge of destiny. And He wants to release a timing, because see, everything has to come with a perfect timing, because in the timing of the Lord is the key to the victory. You don't need to be there a day too early. You don't need to be there a day too late. You need to be there when He says. And that comes from having heard. And what we can hear, we can begin to follow. It comes from having a place, a heart of obedience. And guess what? A heart of obedience is cultivated in the place of intimacy. Because until we have a heart of obedience, it doesn't even matter what we hear. Because the heart of obedience is the one that follows. It's the one that beats in connection with His beat. It's the one that beats like Christ. God is wanting to bring us into the place of intimacy so that He can bring us forth in a place of obedience. Why? Why? He's not looking for some soldiers. He's looking for those who are willing. Those who are willing. Because He knows that no matter what, that you'll do more for Him out of love than you would have ever done for the enemy out of fear. He's looking for people who are not afraid to call out upon His name, who are not afraid to represent who He is, who are not afraid to step into this place of called destiny. Because they're walking in a place of intimacy. Because they're walking in an intimacy that reveals who He is. And as they reveal who He is, they begin to understand the nature of God that's within themselves. They begin to understand how to represent God. They begin to stand in the place of intimacy. Why? Because it's made available to them. Because it's made available to them in the place of intimacy. Your access to these things is opened up because of Christ that's in you. Because of Christ in you. Because when Christ gives you that opportunity, when you accepted Him and you began the first step to opening up to intimacy. Let's go to Galatians 2 and 20. Galatians 2, 20. I have been crucified with Christ. This is what opens up in the place of intimacy. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and delivered Himself up for me. I live by the faith of the Son of God. You'll notice some versions say faith in the Son of God. And I want to bring your attention to that one word, because see, there's a big difference between of and in here. Why? Because see, if we'll walk by the faith of the Son of God, it says something very different than by walking of the faith in the Son of God. When you got saved by faith in the Son of God. And that's a wonderful thing, but it's an external thing. God is wanting us to understand a God of intimacy, a God who is oneness with us. When He says it this way, when we understand it, the King James got it right there, when we understand it's the faith of God, then that, what is that? Because that's a faith of Christ. Because all of a sudden now, that's a recognition that Christ is in me. I'm walking this walk. I'm crucified with Christ. I'm truly walking this life of intimacy with Him because Christ is in me. And now, because Christ is in me, I'm able to live by the faith of this Christ in me, to live by His faith. And so therefore, the of means that I'm living by the faith of this Christ in me. It's no longer an external thing, but now it becomes an internal thing. It makes a huge difference as to that one little word. But see, this is something that's opened up in the place of intimacy. You begin to see and to walk and to hold on to God in a place of intimacy because He's already made that place of sacrifice for you. You have the openness and the potential of intimacy. Now let's go to Ephesians 3, verse 12. This is where your intimacy comes from. I made the other point so that I can continue that same thought right here. In whom we have boldness. In whom? Whom? In Christ. We have boldness and confident access through faith of Him. Through the faith of Him. It's the same in and of situation because it's no longer an external thing, it's an internal thing. So the faith of Christ being in us, because Christ is in you. When you understand Christ is in you, now the whole world of intimacy is opened up to you because Christ, He descended from the Father. Why? So that you could have this place to go to the Father with Him. So you can have the opportunity to go to the Father with Him. And when you go to the Father with Him, then there's an understanding. There's a chain of operation. It's no longer our flesh that's being transported. It's our spirit that is alive, a spirit of Christ that's in you, that's in league with Him and opened up in a place called intimacy. In a place called intimacy. Christ has an intimacy that He wants to share with you. He has an intimacy He wants to awaken in you. Because as He awakens this place, the knowledge of Him begins to come forth. As He awakens this place, the obedience to Him begins to come forth. He's not looking for a people who serve Him with head knowledge. He's looking for a place whose hearts are linked with Him. He's looking for those who are willing to step out. To step out of the boat of what's comfortable. To step out of the boat means that you're going to have a place of trust. And trust is not formed just in a casual relationship. There is no trust in a casual relationship. Trust is formed in the place of intimacy. Trust is only found in the bonds of comradeship as we begin to understand who we are and what we're doing. And we can't understand that until we open ourselves up to a true intimacy. Something I learned a long time ago, and I urge you as fellow soldiers in Christ, is to know the soldier that's next to you. Because if you'll know the soldier who is next to you, now you can begin to know what you can count on and what you can't. What you can lean on and what you can't. Because you go to lean on something that crumbles out from underneath you, what's going to happen? You fall too. But if you know the quality of the soldier next to you, if you know the quality of this person that's next to you, and you know that they can hold you up, suddenly you have somebody who's an ally in your time of need. Someone who's not going to disagree with you, but somebody who's going to lift you up. Because sometimes there are situations where you don't need them to agree with you. You need them to slap you in the face and say, hey, look, wake up here. Let me just bring a little bit of understanding to the situation. God wants you to know. And that comes from a place of intimacy. He wants you to know that you can trust Him. He has already imputed trust to you. He's given trust to you. He trusted you with your salvation. He trusted you with His love. Knowing that you could hurt Him in every way, He trusted you with His love. And He's looking for what is your response. Will you respond out of intimacy? Will you respond out of a heart that is like into His? Will you respond out of a heart that is willing to draw near, willing to make itself fearless enough that it can be brought into a place of trust? Will he find a heart that's willing to let down its defenses so that one can raise up, that the Christ can be raised up, holy and undefiled? Spirit of God be raised up, righteous and pure. He's looking. He's looking to touch us. We have been given a place of access, a place of hope, a position of strength. When we begin to see God for who He really is, when we begin to see Him for the enormity of everything that He does, when we understand this God who is all-seeing, all-knowing, omniscient, in every way great, we can begin to see through the intimacy with Him just how small our problem really was. In a place of intimacy, things are brought into perspective. In the place of intimacy, truth is made evident. And when truth is made evident, now we have something that we can walk in a place called trust. You see, trust is a choice that we make to walk in agreement with what has been evidenced. Hallelujah. For through Him, through Christ, Ephesians 2 and 18, we have our access in one Spirit to the Father. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. And we've got to find the evidence of that in the place of intimacy with Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.